I mentioned, as soon as we leave the octave of Easter, the readings are all about the risen life of Christ as it exists in the church. The whole church can say, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And the whole risen life of Christ is in the church. How does it get into the church? Through faith and baptism, and then the other sacraments. It's the work of Jesus Christ individually through the sacraments, day by day by day by day. And that's very important for us to grasp, because it's an essential part of the apostolic heritage. It's an essential part of what the apostles taught and set up the way to celebrate these sacraments, at least in a basic way. And it would be, this year might be a good time for everybody, if you have a chance, to read, reflect, what is a sacrament? You know, we have sacraments. It's the Catholic and Orthodox tradition. Some of the other traditions have them in one way or another, especially baptism. What are they? They are the work of Jesus Christ, the act of Jesus Christ in and through matter. Bread, wine, water, oil, hands, voice. And through those, Jesus Christ imparts divine life. And so the treatise that we get as we prepare for Pentecost, you see, is about the sacraments. The teaching of our Lord, as St. John teaches us, on baptism, chapter 3. And then we move to chapter 6, where we have our Lord's teaching on the Eucharist. And then we move on from there. That's the life of Christ, risen from the dead, apparent, palpable, tangible for us. And the Lord comes and acts through the sacraments. Now, so the first reading all this time will be the book of Acts. And you see the life of Christ. Huh? You saw it today. I mean, look at the generosity of these people. Everybody gave up all they had, threw it in the pot, and they all lived. Now, Barnabas, you see, is singled out for doing it, which means, you see, that people put everything at the disposal of the apostles. And so, you know, St. Peter might say to somebody, you got an extra house, and Joe doesn't have any place to live. Could he go live in your house? Sure. That sort of a thing, probably. But there was no needy person among them. Now that's a promise from the book of Deuteronomy. Luke is also pointing to, there was an ideal. There were communes, real ones, back there. The Pythagoreans had some. And their ideal was to live a totally communal life. I don't know if you remember. You weren't there, but I mean, in the 19th century, particularly in the United States, there were a vast movement of this type of communal living, inspired by noble motives, not religious, not faith, and some of them lasted quite a while. Isaac Hecker, the founder of the Paulist, belonged to one up in upstate New York for a while, and then he had a vision, by the way. He saw a woman come into his room through the window, a vision. It was probably Our Lady. And he said, I'll never meet anybody that beautiful. I'm never going to get married. And that prepared him then to become a Catholic, to become a priest, and to found the Paulists. So the Lord knows what he's doing. So the first reading, therefore, shows us life in Christ. And it will now all the way through. And they'll resolve their difficulties and so forth. There's a dispute about the way the, the food was being distributed. The Greek-speaking people thought they were getting left out. And so they got together and the apostles said, look, our ministry is prayer and the word. So select 7 men among you who are balanced, good men, who have the Holy Spirit and faith, and let them run that. So they selected 7, and the apostles laid hands on them and ordained them deacons. And that's how it started. Now, it turned out that, for instance, Philip was a deacon. He was a prophet. He had daughters who were prophets. Stephen was the first martyr. They were all the deacons. But that's that text. The gospel begins, remember we had yesterday, we had the feast, and so we're catching up. You know, yesterday you had the text where the leader of the Jews, one of the leaders, Nicodemus, came. And you see the kind of discourse that our Lord gives to this kind of a person. It's important to recognize this because many of the discourses, it seems, that our Lord gives, are recorded in the Gospel of John, were probably given to the priestly theological caste to which John and his family probably belonged. He was a fisherman, yes, but you know, remember it says there, they left the boats with the hired men. It was a little business, maybe a big business, but a business. And their father, Zechariah, no, that's not Zechariah. What's his name?
Zebedee.
Was one of, and of course, when he wasn't on duty in Jerusalem, he went back to his home in the north and looked after this business because nobody lived from the Word of God as such. That's why Paul worked his whole life. And so, what does it say here? You've got to be born again. Or above, from above. It just happens to be the same word in Greek, and they be played on, ano. In other words, my friend, that to which you are called is so glorious and so eternal, you don't have the resources. You can try to believe all you want. You can do all you want. You do not have the resources to achieve the goal for which you were created. It's a gift. And the gift is divine life. And it comes through faith and baptism. And so this is starts now, this you must be born of the Spirit. Huh? A little earlier in the text, we're born of water and the Spirit. That's for us to recognize that we should be humble. We're not that spiritual. We need these things. We need this matter to be the place where God mediates divine life to us. We don't come together this morning and think about the Last Supper, think about the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have bread and wine. We have his body and blood. And he's fixed on that act of love in which he died, and he invites us into it through his presence in the bread and wine. When I baptize a baby, I don't say, I wish you the very best. I take water and pour it on them. And it's the sea. And that regime is what allows for a deeper humanity in the practice of faith. Because if that materiality is important, then my brother's materiality is important, and if he doesn't have what he needs, I'm going to give it to him. We're not just spirits. And God didn't die just to save spirits. He died to save human beings and to give us as human beings an eternal existence. And so we're beginning this now. And you'll trace the life of Christ in the church in the book of Acts. And you'll trace the Lord's teaching on the sacraments in the Gospels.